Silence. Movement. Radio. Woman's Movement. Radio. Welcome to Woman's Movement Radio Show today. I'm your host, Janae Asenstrass. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to our show today. As always, I'll be speaking to women all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, by always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today, but when we return, we'll be talking about empowered women in the 21st century. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. As I stated before the break, we're going to be talking today about empowered women in the 21st century. And before I get to our upcoming guests, you know, I have to say as a woman, we've evolved and we've come so far, and I love being a woman in the 21st century. There are so many things that I've had the opportunity to see and so many privileges that I feel that I have now. But yet, with every great advancement, there's still a lot of work to do and still areas, and I know that we can strengthen together as women. And our next guest coming up is going to talk to us about how to be empowered, how to empower other women, and how to create unity amongst women. Her name happens to be Denise Newton, and she has a great book called Ariel Rising. And it's derived from the Hebrew word Ariel, which means lioness or to be a lion. So when we come back, we'll return and talking to Denise Newton.
The hottest new gel polish just got cooler. Reaction by Gel 2. Color-changing polish that heats up and cools down, transforming your look. 12 temperature-activated colors that evolve with you. For a perfect manicure that strengthens nails, choose Gel 2. What's your reaction?
And we're back, and I'm so excited to introduce our next guest, who happens to be Denise Newton. She is the author of a book called Ariel Rising, and it's a wonderful compilation series featuring 50-plus women talking about empowered women in the 21st century. But before we get into the book, I'm going to introduce Denise. Denise, how are you, hon?
I am great. How about you?
I'm wonderful, and I'm jealous because you're having this wonderful weather in the south, and I'm up here in Toronto where it's cold and rainy, and I know winter's coming soon.
Yes, it's beautiful in my part right about now, so I'm going to enjoy while I can.
Yeah, enjoy the southern part of the state for sure. Now, we were talking about Ariel Rising, Empowered Women in the 21st Century, and exciting book. Wanted to know some more information about what inspired you to create this series.
Okay, well, I would have to actually go back to 2011. That was the actual beginning of this movement, which the book is now an actual movement. In 2011, I had the blessed opportunity to visit South Africa on a mission. And when I was there, I worked with some AIDS orphans and also in an orphanage with children that are stricken with the AIDS virus. And so that's what we did when we were there. But the beautiful thing that I had the opportunity to do that ties into women is that I went on what they call the lion walk. And when they told us we were going on a lion walk and we were going to meet lions, I really was looking for some little kitty cat kind of thing, you know, little cub. But when this beast was brought forward, I almost ran back across the Atlantic Ocean because I said, there is no way I'm going to interact with a real live lion, not that big thing over there anyway. So, but they kind of insisted that was part of the tour and that I needed to do that. Well, one thing I did notice when I finally got up the nerve to get close to the lioness, and she was 18 months old, one was how beautiful she was. And immediately I began to make that compare her to the actual ordinary everyday woman. And she was beautiful. And then when I touched her and I noticed that she was soft, her coat was very soft. And then as we walked and I got a little bit more boldness about it, I did stroke her where I could feel the muscle, you know. So therein I found her strength, that she was strong, she was beautiful, you know, and she was soft. And then also she was a little vulnerable because it was pretty warm that day and she kept stopping to roll around in mud puddles to try and cool off. So when I noted those four things about the lioness, it just made me think about the role of women in general, in a society that I believe still very much undervalues us. And so that was the beginning of the whole Ariel Rising thing, because Ariel itself, the term Ariel in the Hebrew means lion or lioness of God. And so I just saw, my faith drives everything that I do. I am a Christian. So I, you know, that's why I came up with Ariel, a lioness. Because that's what it means in the Hebrew. So at any rate, when I got back to the U.S., my stepfather was stricken with West Nile virus here in the state of North Carolina. And he lay comatose and paralyzed for over 30 days. And it was during that time of sitting in the hospital every day that I got a chance to see women again having to take on so many roles. Most of the medical staff that we encountered were women. The families, most of the families that slept on the floor in the hospital, they were women. And even young girls, I just noticed that women have to wear so many hats in society. I wanted to do something special to feature women that are making a difference. And most of these women fly under the radar. They're not in the public eye in any way, but they're still making a profound impact on our communities around the globe, actually. So that was how I got inspired to write Ariel Rising.
That's amazing. So how did you gather the women? Like, was it divine appointments with these women that you, just as you gradually were just living your life, these women were aligning with you? Or did you already have a pool of women that you could tap into that also wanted to share a story? And I guess, Denise, the reason why I'm asking that is because I know mm-hmm. about the divine appointments that are set
yes.
up for us.
And
I understand that. And I just know for many female entrepreneurs, they can resonate with that. So is that what happened in your story?
Absolutely. Definitely, I would say it was about 75% divine. And then I would say that at least 20% there was my former radio co-host, Skylar Jett. Skylar is a music producer. He's a vocalist. And he's been on a lot of big projects with a lot of big name entertainers. But Skylar and I co-hosted a radio show for 3 years. And so I would say probably over half of the women that are featured in this book were women that I had at one point or another had on my radio show, that I met through my radio show or directly through my co-host Skylar. And the rest were women that I know was by divine appointment that God sent to me, because I simply was doing a Google search one day about empowered women or you know, women that were doing great things. And this is how I connected with several of them. So I said it was a little bit of both, but mainly more of from the divine part of it. I think God definitely led me on that mission to find the 50 women that are included.
Amazing. So how has this journey been for you then, Denise?
It has, oh my goodness, it's been mixed, really. It was a huge undertaking, to say the least, because when it first came to me, the first thing I said to myself is there is no way I could do something that huge, pull this off, you know, in the way that it was being given to me. And I doubted myself for about 2 months, but it was such a burning thing within me, that fire shut up in my bones, that I had to do it. So I started reaching out, and then, I overbooked a lot of people because I knew that everyone wouldn't follow through. And just getting them, the contributors to submit on time, I think was the biggest problem that I faced. With some of them, you know, we'd have a deadline and over half of them wouldn't meet it. I kept moving the deadline. The deadline got moved several times. So I think that was the biggest challenge, was, getting everybody to get everything in on time. But the project is so beautiful. And it is so empowering that none of that even, you know, even comes into play anymore. I don't even think about the many long nights, the many phone calls, the many emails, the lack of sleep, you know, because I'm striving for perfection because I wanted this project to send a clear message that women have the power. It's already within us to make these changes. And another thing, too, that I learned when I was in Africa was about the gathering of women and how important it is when, you know, how things could happen, progress could be made when the women united, when the women came together. And so that's what I kept in the forefront of my mind at all times was that this message is much bigger than the few obstacles that I had to endure to pull it off. So it's been a mixture, but it has certainly been a pleasure. These 50 women have been an absolute pleasure to work with, and the response to this project has been enormous. So I'm very blessed.
Oh, for sure. I can imagine. And I think, you know, just to add to what you said, us women, we're just so beautiful and we're so resilient.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I bet it was so inspiring for you reading through each one of those women's stories and knowing how they've impacted and touched mm-hmm. your lives, but reading their stories and seeing the level of impact they're making on their communities.
Yes, yes. And it's, and to real quick, the very first story that you will read is one of Nadine Lee. And this is, and I like to talk about Nadine real briefly. When I'm telling people about Ariel Riser, because Nadine's story kind of sets the stage for the remainder of the book. And Nadine is the founder of Speak the Dream Foundation in California. But Nadine had a very, very rough beginning in her life. She was abandoned at 6 by her mother. I think she was at a dry cleaners and she just abandoned her there. But then after that, this child, you know, was in and out of foster care for all of her life until she eventually aged out. And we can only imagine the things that happened to her during the time that she was in foster care. So she had so many reasons to be full of hatred, to be full of bitterness, and not to ever, ever, ever want anything more to do with her mother. But to this day, when she found out that her mother was ill, she drove cross country from California to Connecticut and picked up the same mother who abandoned her as a child and brought her back to live with her and taking care of her. So the power of forgiveness. And how, you know, Nadine was able to just not allow what happened to her to fester and to make her, you know, become this someone who wanted to maybe retaliate or just live a life just full of hatred and bitterness. She turned that around and she showers her mother with love to this day. So, you know, I put her first because I wanted people to see what the power of forgiveness can do and how it can impact not only your life, but the person that you had to forgive. So this is what you will find throughout this book from beginning to end. Women and all of the stories are not terrible stories, women having these bad things to happen. Some of them are just talking about, as you alluded to earlier, the resilience, you know, that I won't give up spirit. Yeah, I won't give up. I want this and it's going to happen. So that's pretty much what this book is about.
Well, what I loved about your story when you're talking about the lioness, it's just, it so speaks to it. The lioness is beautiful, graceful, resilient, mm-hmm. vulnerable, but yet still has that warrior spirit, right? And it's just the perfect blend of it. You know, when we're talking, it reminds me of John chapter 9, when Jesus heals the blind man. And then one of my favorite stories. Of how Jesus heals the blind man. And then the disciples are walking by with Jesus and they say, what sin did this man or his parents commit that this man was born blind? And it leads to Nadine's story. A lot of times people see people that are brought up in brokenness and they look at that and they're like, you know, what did this person do? And, or this man or this, what did their family or what did their mother do? What did this person do that this is their situation? And Jesus' response is the most beautiful response. This man nor his parents committed any sin, but this man was born blind, so that way the glory of God would be revealed in their lives.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And it's really about being that beautiful light shining out into the world. And the reason why I believe Nadine's story is so paramount and it displays the power of forgiveness is because those people that understand, it's almost the polarity. It's the people that have every reason to be angry are the ones that understand love, understand forgiveness, understand that. And it speaks to the resilience of the human experience.
Yes, Absolutely. Oh, you summed it up perfectly. And that is what in her story, and that's exactly what has happened. And you find these type of stories, women who have, was given, just weeks or months to live due to breast cancer or some other terminal illness. And they said, no, I'm going to live. I'm going to defeat this thing. I will not be defeated. And they have overcome, or they're in remission. So, and I think it's very important, especially in this current atmosphere that we're in, where everything is so negative. You know, when you turn on the news and you just bombard it with the worst in humanity in general. But, people still got to know that there is a counter to all that. There is still so much good that remains. And I just know that when women, if we could ever break down the barriers that exist in women, whether it's just cattiness or pettiness or envy, jealousy, and all of this stuff. If we could ever get past those barriers and link up arm in arm and go forward, we could really, really change a lot that goes on in our families, our relationships, our communities, our world even. So that is one of my goals with Ariel Rising, is to make this a global movement, a peaceful, uniting movement, where women will have this outlet and this platform to use their God-given talents to make a difference. And that's pretty much what we want to do.
Well, one thing us Jews do talk about is that in the time before the Mashiach returns, it's usually the rise of the female spirit and the female movement, because Jews believe that women are the spiritual beacons unto their children. And that's why, Judaism is a highly matriarchal philosophy or religion, and it truly exalts women to be empowered and to, that's why we see blatant portrays, like in Proverbs chapter 31, talking about the virtuous woman, right? Because the woman is virtuous, but she's also the foundation for her family. So if the woman is not together, then how can the household really stand?
Absolutely, yes.
And that's why it's important for, and that's partially why when you look in the Christian part of the Bible, you see that's why it talks about how a man should treat his wife, and he should, should not harm her. And any man that mistreats his wife hates his own self, because and if we were to take that steps further, any man that mistreats a woman cannot possibly like his own self, because it's from her, it's from him and who she sprang, right? Or other philosophies teach that it's from the woman that all things flow from. So and if life comes from the woman, then we should never mistreat women, because women, we are the essence. And under the Christianity, it talks about woman represents the Holy Spirit, or the very thing, the very emotional essence of God. So
beautiful. Oh, that's well put.
I love it. Really wonderful parts about your book that I want you to touch upon. How did Sandy Ranko become involved in this? Because, and share with everyone who Sandy is.
Yes, sure. It's one of my most favorite people. I affectionately call her Mama Sandy. She's almost 80 years old. She's very close to 80. She was appointed by Nelson Mandela once Mandela was, when he became president of South Africa, she was appointed as South Africa's ambassador. And so she was very, very close to him. In fact, I think she was there in the hospital when he died. But how I got connected to her is, again, I'm big on networking. And, I find that a lot of people don't like to network because they're afraid somebody's going to take something from them. Well, that's not me. I'm big on networking. So when the radio show that I used to host a couple of years ago, again, through my co-host, I met Sandy, because his uncle is good friends with her. And so they brought her on the show, and she and I just hit it off, because I'm big on history. I love history. And when she came on the show and talked about what she endured during the days of apartheid in South Africa, under constant threat of assassination for taking a stand for saying, you know, this is not right. And as a woman, I'm going to fight this thing. And that's what she did. She fought back against apartheid. She took a stand. And she was under constant threat of assassination. And she also was exiled from her homeland for 33 years. She couldn't go home because they wanted to kill her. And so for 33 years, she was an outcast, but she finally was able to go back home. And, you know, she was instrumental in a lot of the laws being changed in and around different South African countries, Mozambique, Tanzania, some of those things. She was very instrumental in getting some laws put in place, in the fight for equality. So she has now written a foreword to two of my books, with Aria Rising being the second. My first book is called Two Continents, One Hope. And that one, it talks about when I went to South Africa in 2011. But she wrote a foreword to that one as well, kind of telling her own story about what she had to endure as a woman to help with just with human rights and dignity and diplomacy in South Africa. So that's who she is, and that's what she does. And I love her dearly.
Amazing. That is so amazing. You know, there's something that's near and dear to me that that you did add into your book, and the book is absolutely great, but it happens to be the beginning part, which is for your dedication to Dr. Maya Angelou. And I have to get through this without crying, because Maya Angelou is the one that inspired me to write.
Yes.
And I had a very life-changing moment this year when my poetry book ended up on the shelves right beside her. And your beginning, your tribute to her, if I could share with,
cause sure, absolutely,
I share it with the audience. It says, in loving memory, oh, before I get to that part, I'll share it from the beginning. It says, Dr. Maya Angelou, sunrise April 4th, 1928, sunset May 28th, 2014. In loving memory of the lioness that roared on behalf of humanity through the written word, Dr. Maya Angelou, thank you for taking up causes beyond your own and making a lasting impact on men, women, boys, and girls all over the world. You have a legacy that, although impossible to imitate, will forever remain a standard of living by which many will strive to achieve. You will be painfully missed, but God saw that your body was growing tired and your eyes were beginning to dim. You finished your course and flown away into paradise. Rest peacefully, Mother Linus. We'll see you in the morning. That's so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Maya Angelou is just such an amazing, amazing, I'm not going to cry, amazing person. I remember reading her book when I was a little girl, and I so resonated with that message, because a lot of her story I relate to, being a girl that grew up in a very rural place, and especially when Maya shares her story about how she was shipped back, or not shipped back, but wrong choice of words, but sent to live with, I forget who she was sent to live with, whether it was one of her parents, but she was living in a rural place.
Yeah. Yes, I remember.
And I so resonate with that message and her story. What has she meant to you in your journey, like being a writer? Because I know so many little young Black girls everywhere so love Maya Angelou. And, you know, she has created a legacy that will truly transcend for many generations to come. What has she meant to you?
Absolutely. And Maya Angelou is the reason that I got enough confidence to even begin the process of writing. Now, I'm one that firmly believe that this is something that was placed in me at birth. Writing the work that I do, which I call my personal ministry. You know, you can call it a work if you like, but my faith says it's a ministry. It was placed in me at birth. I was born with this. However, I didn't have the confidence to write until I read the story, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Because here we saw a woman that, and then I was fascinated with her role in the movie Roots too. I was a little girl myself.
I remember.
Yeah, and she had such a strong role in that movie, and I was taken aback with her even at that point. And I think it was about around that same time when I finally read the book, and I don't even think I was in middle school. I think I was still in elementary school, maybe around fifth grade or so. But I read the book, and I remember thinking, wow, you know, just seeing how she was able to move that storyline and learning about the pain that she went through and the troubles that she endured. But she was still Maya Angelou. She was still powerful. She still had this way of capturing your attention when she spoke or through her written word. And that's what really kind of ignited me. It's like someone struck a match. And I just felt at that point that I can do this too. I know that I was called to be a writer and I can do this. And it was that year that I wrote my first story in a composition book. And I sent it into a, it was a little a thing where you send it in and maybe, you know, plays or get a prize or whatever. No, it was nothing big. But when it was read, they really liked it, and they wrote a whole lot of encouraging notes to me that I was destined to be a writer and to pursue this thing because I was good at it and all of these things. And I won first place. I got a $50 savings bond. I remember it's what they gave me. But to me, that was like, oh, my God, I can really do this. But it took me going in a whole new direction in my life. I went to college. I studied communication, which was fine, but I I was good at it, but I really just went into the military after that, just running away from problems, really. But the point I'm trying to make is that Maya Angelou it helped ignite that spark, that thing in me. And it was there. It was lying dormant for many years, but it was there. I had to go knock my head up against a few walls, going off the beaten path, pursuing other things. Before I believe God brought me back full circle and said, see, the reason you were having all those troubles is because that's not what you were supposed to be doing in the first place. Now come back because this is what I want you to do. And I credit Dr. Angelou for sparking that in me over 30 years ago. And so when I was doing this book, I knew I had to pay homage to her, which even if she was still alive, I still would have reverenced her in that book because she is a great, one of the biggest reasons that I can consider myself a writer today. So absolutely. And I love her.
Truly, you know what? You got the best of me today. I talked about John chapter 9. That always makes me emotional. I talked about Maya Angelou, and I just remember when she passed away that day. It was a few weeks after she had passed away is when I found my book on the shelf. And it probably was already there. I just never even realized it was coincidentally. And I had delayed doing a tribute because I know everybody was going to do a tribute to Maya Angelou. But that woman absolutely changed my life. And I just remember being so devastated when she, not devastated because obviously she had lived such a full life, but just, you know, there will never be another person like that. There's just, you know.
Absolutely.
There are some people that were meant to grace the earth for this time and they leave their imprint. They do. They truly do. But before we go, Denise, I just wanted you to share any last words of inspiration for the women who are listening.
I would just like to say to all ladies that are listening, women, young girls, because I also started, in addition to Area Rising movement, I also have what I call the Cubs Rising. And Cubs Rising is for girls age 15 and under, because I don't forget them either. And they already have a purpose. And what I want to do through Cubs Rising is help these young girls find their purpose early in life and give them a platform to use it, because I believe by doing so, we can help keep some of them from making poor choices and bad decisions that can adversely affect their life. But I would like to say to all of the women and girls who are listening, find your purpose is your roar. And let me tell you real quick about a roar. A lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away, and it is so powerful that it can create a dust storm. And a lioness roars for only a couple of reasons. One, when she senses danger. Two, when she's looking for her lost cubs. Or three, when she's warning intruders to back off. And so, and all of that reminds me of women. You know, we're nurturers and we're protectors. So find out what your roar is. And nothing is too small or insignificant because God can magnify anything. Find your roar and give it 100% of yourself, because the world groans in pain. I'm telling you, the world is groaning in pain, and they're waiting for us. They're waiting for the women to step forward and say enough is enough. And we can help our children from making such, and keep our family unit from being destroyed and our children from going down the wrong path, if we were to use that God-given roar, that God-given purpose that was placed in us at birth. And don't be afraid to use it. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid or you know, reluctant to link up with other women, because there is strength in numbers. We can tackle things a lot better in numbers than we can, you know, as an individual. And that's what I want to do with Area Rising. This is not Denise Newton's movement. This is a woman's movement. This is the aerial movement. So go in search of your passion, your purpose, and don't let the sun set on you. In other words, close your eyes on this side of life without at least the beginning, you know, beginning to pursue that thing that God has placed in you. So that would be my message to you, is don't let anything stop you from the pursuit of your purpose and your dreams.
For sure. Thank you so much for being on Women's Movement Radio Show today, Denise. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Mom's Movement Radio Show on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Eisenstrauss, where we will talk to moms all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of moms who are changing their lives by force. I want to thank Denise for being on the show today. Denise, thank you for your presence and your inspiration. You are truly a blessing, and you really got the best of me today, you know, with John chapter 9, Maya Angelou talking about empowering women, all elements of me that I love. And I'm so glad that I was able to share that with you. And I'm also glad that I was able to be vulnerable with you on air. So wonderful. Love people that can make me shed tears. But you also, something that I wanted to share with all of you, Denise, you had a great poem that I want to share with our audience. And it's called Rise, Ariel, Rise. And everyone, I'm going to read that poem because Denise wrote this, and I hope it truly resonates with you and you take it as you go out into your week. Rise, Ariel, rise. Looking into the mirror, a lioness she sees, a symbol of hope and courage, grace and bravery. She strives for perfection daily, walking strongly in her call, making a difference in the world, helping others stand tall. She is a woman. She has a roar. Watch Ariel rise. Ariel is courageous, secure in her own skin, wrapped in grace and confidence, her talents without end. She doesn't need a clique, a gang, a group, or a crew. She follows after good things, beginning each day anew. She is a woman. She has a roar. Watch Ariel rise. Looks are important, but Ariel, they don't define. She's more than skin and hair. She has a made-up mind, impacting the lives of others with passion and much drive. She's focused and determined beyond the 9-to-5. She is a woman. She has her roar. Watch Ariel rise. Her roar is very powerful, a call to humanity, that help is available to set the bonded free. She unites where there is division, turns chaos into peace. With love, compassion, and kindness, doubts and fears will cease. She is a woman. She has her roar. Watch Ariel rise. Isn't that such a beautiful poem, everyone? Take that into your week and just be exactly that woman who has a defined roar and see how you rise. And on that note, I want to thank all of you for listening to Women's Movement Radio Show this week. I'm your host, Janae Eisenstrauss. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to us here on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, ladies, never forget, be informed, be inspired, be incredibly successful.